Don't let your heart be troubled. No matter how dark your life looks to you right now, no matter how little hope you may be holding on to, don't let it be troubled. Jesus says, trust God, trust also in me. Take a moment, reflect on how much trouble has gone on in your world over the last day, scale of 1 to 10, and then how much peace is in your heart. And then today we look at the one way to live in a troubled world, the one way that will bring the possibility of an untroubled heart. And it's one single word. It is the core of what Jesus taught, and it is the word love. And I will tell you that when we meet together here in the fellowship of the withered hand, here at Become New, it's just because of love. It is because for me, at the point of life when I was in the lowest spot and felt so much pain and uncertainty about the future and uncertainty about my own failures as a father and as a pastor and no idea what to do, there were people who came alongside me. My wife loved me. My sister, whatever was going on in her life, when I said, I need you, she would just say, I'll get on a plane and be right there. Or Sam, you said, you can reinvent yourself. Or Ron, you said, just something every day. Or Chuck, I will fly out, stand on your doorstep. Or Rick, I'll talk with you every day. Just so many people, many, many of you who said in one way or another, I want to be a part, I want to help, I want to encourage. And there's nothing in the world like love. So that's the word for today, love. And here's how Jesus puts it as he's coming towards the end of this passage that we've been looking at. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that a person should lay down their life for their friends. Now, of course, that's way beyond my capacity. I would love to get there someday. I can start doing that in small ways, just lay down a little bit of my time or a little bit of my effort or a little bit of my thought to try to add value to somebody, to notice somebody today, to care about them, to encourage them, to give them a call, to write to them, to put my arm around somebody's shoulder. But the great story is the ultimate sacrificing of life. That has always been the great human story, and it comes up over and over again, and we love it. Movies like Saving Private Ryan, where the hero of that movie, played by Tom Hanks, devotes his life to rescue somebody from a family that's made great sacrifices. Tale of Two Cities, if you've ever read that, there's a guy who's kind of wasted his life, Sidney Carton, but at the end of his life, there is another man who married the woman that Sidney loves, and Sidney's able to take his place and go to the guillotine for him and give great courage to a little seamstress peasant woman who's also going to die in the revolution. And his final comments in that book, it is a far better thing that I do now than I have ever done. It is a far better rest I go to than I have ever known. The little Pixar movie, Inside Out, which incidentally was written and directed by a Christian by the name of Pete Docter. There's this character, Bing Bong, silly, goofy, part cat, part dolphin, part elephant, cotton candy, imaginary friend, living in the memory dump. And he's going to help Joy get up to the control booth so that Riley can come alive again. But he realizes the only way that that little wagon is going to get up out of the memory dump is if he hops out of it, if he sacrifices his own life. Just stupid little kids movie. But greater love has no one than this, that someone should lay down their life for their friends. There was a movie, Spartacus. It's based on a slave revolt and a historical character, although not much is known about the actual historical character. In the movie, when the revolt is being quelled by the Romans and they want to find out who's responsible for this so they can give them special torture, special punishment, they offer a pardon to anybody who will tell them who is Spartacus. And then one by one, the surviving rebels say, I'm Spartacus. I'm Spartacus. I'm Spartacus. And 6,000 were crucified. That's a historical truth as part of that revolt. My good buddy, Dan Sean. Dan, if you're watching this, Dan has headed up a wonderful church and a ministry in Hawaii for many, many years. when he's at Starbucks and he gives his coffee order and they ask his name, I'm not making this up, he will always say Spartacus, so that when they say coffee's ready for Spartacus, then he says, I am Spartacus. And he's constantly waiting for somebody else to say, I am Spartacus. And of course, nobody ever does. So if you're ever around him, then you take him up on that. Aslan, if you read Narnia, offers his life. Boromir in Lord of the Rings, over and over and over again, this is the story. Now, in the ancient world, there would be stories about sacrifice. In the Greco-Roman world, they greatly honored courage and the willingness to suffer, but there were quite severe limits on it. This is from a book called Paul in the Greco-Roman World. Later writers often write about a limitation on who should you suffer for, who should you sacrifice your life for. Aristotle said, it's wonderful to be courageous, but it's womanish to let another person suffer for you. On the one hand, it's necessary to risk danger on account of friendship, the ancient said, yet shared suffering must not go so deep as to touch the soul of the friend who gives comfort. Writer Epictetus spoke about that. So, you know, I don't allow my serenity to be disturbed. This essay goes on. The ultimate demonstration of friendship was willingly to suffer death for another. Cicero reports that theatergoers were moved to standing ovations at scenes of such devotion. And we know from literary sources the theme of death for friendship's sake was gaining great popularity in the first century, in the time of Jesus. However, there was a limit. The one for whom suffering and death are endured must be good, must be worthy, must have earned it. This qualification is based on the requirement that a friendship be established only with a good person. Friendship is possible only after testing to see if the potential friend possesses sufficient virtue. And then we come to the staggering story of Jesus that would change the world. And when Paul is writing to the church at Rome, he puts it like this. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, virtuous person, although for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. They might get a standing ovation in the theater. It's a different story. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. All these stories, all of these books, all of those moments in history, all of those movies move us so deeply because they point to what is actually at the heart of reality and what changed the world. There's a historian, Tom Holland, who's written a remarkable book called Dominion, How the Christian Revolution Remade the World. And he writes about how, although as a young person, he was really drawn towards the ancients and the Greco-Roman culture, and that there's lots in that to admire, but it was a deeply cruel culture. And this is part of what he writes. He had an article called Why I Was Wrong About Christianity in the New Statesman. Familiarity with the biblical narrative of the crucifixion has dulled our senses of just how completely novel a deity Christ was. Christianity is the principal reason why most of us who live in post-Christian society still take it for granted that it is nobler to suffer than to inflict suffering. It is why we generally assume every life is of equal value. In morals and ethics, I have learned to accept I am neither Greek nor Roman at all, but thoroughly and proudly Christian. It's striking that the cross was a symbol for both Rome and for the early church, but in Rome it was a symbol of the power to inflict suffering on others. For the church, it's a symbol of the love to bear suffering for others. So really interesting article today in the New York Times, as I'm recording this, by David French. The New York Times quotes Dallas Willard today about the loss of moral knowledge. And this article talks about how there's kind of a resurgence of paganism in our day, just the worship of ego and narcissism and personal power and success and conquest, and that Christianity from the beginning, this person of Jesus, stood on the other side of that approach to life and said that it's all about love. My command is this, that you love, and that greater love has no one than this. Not that I climb the top of the ladder, not that I acquire everything, not that I've got everything, not that my... No, the greatest life is the one that's poured out in sacrifice. So today, just start where you are. I would admire deeply to be captured by that kind of love. But I got a long ways to go. I got a lot of ego. I got a lot of pagan. I got a lot of pagan in me. But I'm coming, Bing Bong. I'm working on it. So today, love. Remember how greatly you are loved by Jesus. Remember at the heart of that story, for reasons and in ways which no one will ever be able to fully understand, Christ died for our sins. Christ died in our place. Christ died our death. So then we can die with him and come to life. And that happens as we love. Give yourself to love. Don't let your heart be troubled. There is a power far greater than the trouble in this world, and its name is love.
Hey, thanks for joining us here at Become New, where you can receive a brief daily teaching each weekday to help you grow spiritually one day at a time. Be sure to hit the subscribe button here on YouTube or at our website, becomenew.com, to make sure that you don't miss any future teachings in the series. Become New is so much more than just a video to receive and watch. It's really a community that you can belong to. So we hope that you'll chime in the comments below, or better yet, join our Facebook group, which you can find the link in the description of this video. I'll be posting a video there each weekday to correspond with the episode for that day with a discussion question. And I would love to have you bring your voice to that conversation. So like I said, you can find that link there, along with the link for our Instagram or our X account. If you just want to receive inspirational quotes and photos throughout the week, you can do that. If you've got a prayer request or you're carrying something heavy, we want you to know that we're here for you and we would love to pray with you. You don't have to carry it alone. So you can text us your prayer request at 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. There's a group of us who meet every day to pray over requests sent in by viewers like yourself. So we hope that you do that. Remember, the most important thing about your life is the person you become. We'll be seeing you.